And that was Alex Highsmith in that clip talking about how going to La Trobe and going to St. Vincent College and that rite of summer, that is where championships are forged. That is where they put hair on your chest, so to speak, in a football sense, even though the Steelers haven't won a playoff game since 2016. Mike Tomlin has been in charge of it all. He is talking to reporters right now. Isaac Seumalo is going to start the season on the injured list with a soft tissue injury. He had a pec injury in camp last year, and he missed the first four games. So this is not a good start for one of the Steelers' veterans on the offensive side of the ball, who's also one of their more consistent performers. We know what we're going to get from Isaac Seumalo. He is not going to be great. He is not going to be mediocre. He's going to be just good, and that's fine. You need a lot of good players to win in the NFL, and he falls into the good player bucket, but you wonder when a guy gets into his 30s when the wheels are going to fall off. And I don't care if the team says it's no big deal. They did the same thing on this exact day last year with Russell Wilson, where they tried to downplay his soft tissue injury in that stupid sled drill that they made him do. They did the conditioning test today. I think it's in the books because Tomlin usually waits for it to end before he goes and addresses the media. Jeff Hathorne was there. My guess is he paid close attention to this drill this year.
That's just me having to step up and play a little bit more, which is I think I'm very capable of. Like, I'm a great player, and I can make a lot of plays. Sit back and watch the film of what I did in Cleveland. I had a lot of good plays, and then some of the Cleveland people just tried to, like, bash my name a little bit. But like I said, if you sit there and you just really watch the film, I made a lot of plays. It was very productive in that defense.
Film good, media hated me there. It's the media's fault. Now, the Browns don't make a lot of good decisions. That's why they're perpetually in last place.
Omar Khan, you're the guy who brought you in to play for this team when asked about you.
About this position, said we have one.
Said we have you. Didn't say we have one, we are big fans of one. Just stated that a literal fact, we have you employed by our team at the moment.
So he's saying ball knowers know the film doesn't lie, I'm actually good. He also went on to say, I'm the best center fielder in Pittsburgh since Andrew McCutchen.
They bring me in to take away that deep ball, if I'm being honest, which if you watch my history, a lot of teams don't really throw the deep ball, if I'm being honest, once I'm a part of the defense. And that's why I think my production has been down. And same with Minka as well. Like, Minka's a great player. If you have a great guy back there that can make a lot of plays on the ball in that deep third, teams aren't going to really try you back there. So that's why a guy like Minka, they say, struggled a little bit. He didn't struggle. You just can't get interception if the ball is not coming your way.
Yeah, I think the Steelers would disagree with you on that point. That's why they were so ready to trade him.
Correct.
To the Dolphins, and why, according to guys like Mark Caboli, they had absolutely zero interest in signing Minka to a contract extension after this season.
I went to look at the PFF Juan Thornhill grades.
Yeah.
And frankly, they were not as terrible as I thought they would be last year. He was actually like, he was in the 60s overall.
Yep.
I will point this to you, though. By the way, PFF ranks this. When he was targeted in coverage, passer rating allowed, 137.2.
Yeah, that's not great. You know, a team won two Super Bowls with him. The Chiefs did in 2019. He was their starting free safety. And again in 2022, his last year there.
He was an objectively good player by PFF metrics both of those years.
It's going back a little bit now. Last two
best years of his career.
In Cleveland, he started every game he was healthy for. But, the people I talked to in Cleveland, I mean, this must be the media folks that
the haters.
Can't stand. But before I even heard Thornhill talk today, it's funny, the feedback I got from them was, this is a guy who's all bark and no bite. He talks a big game, and then he doesn't do a ton to earn a check, which is like a lot of Browns players.
He had two great years. I think he had two like years. If you go and look at everything about, like, probably every stat you could crunch, all the tape, I'm sure, he has 19 and he has 22, and those are objectively good seasons.
One more from Thornhill. Here he is buttering up intern Dom.
This age ain't number the number, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I know sometimes they say, oh, this guy's 30, he's 31. It doesn't matter if you're still playing. Like, if you look at A-Rod, his numbers were still up there. They talk about how he's not a great quarterback, but if you really compare him to some of these guys like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, he should be in that conversation. He made a lot of plays. And then with Darius Slay, why does he have to prove himself still? The guy just came off a Super Bowl playing great, so he shouldn't have to prove himself at all. So I definitely think everybody's going to play with a chip on our shoulder. Like, I definitely will be. I can't really speak for those guys, but I hopefully they'll do the same.
So Aaron Rodgers deserves to be in the conversation with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the NFL. And Darius Slay has nothing to prove. Okay. Both of those guys were told by their last team, we don't need you anymore.
Correct. One of the two was his prior employer, won the Super Bowl, and has a pretty good knack for making good personnel decisions.
The Jets, not so much.
Still, though, I mean...
But he's beating the drum that Dom loves, which is the numbers don't lie, and they're just like Josh Allen's. Right, Dom?
That's exactly right. I'm glad somebody else said it, because when I say it, I get yelled at. But now we have somebody with some credibility who is also speaking
to that. Does Juan Thornhill have credibility?
Yeah. Dom, most people think he was one of the worst players at his position in the league last year.
Listen, the guy plays in the NFL. He must know something.
Really?
Yeah.
So every NFL player has like infallible opinions, because here's the problem: most of these guys only say that their teammates are all good no matter what they
Jamarcus Russell played in the NFL and Bill Belichick didn't. Does that mean Russell knows more about football than Belichick?
No, but it means he knows something.
He was handed a blank DVD and told, pick out the plays on here you like. It's a cut up of all of our offensive plays. He said, got it, coach. Came back the next day and said, oh, I like this, 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 and this. And then they said, hey, Jamarcus, it was a blank DVD. That is a real thing that happened.
Yes.
But listen, you can't deny, though, that him just saying Josh Allen, I mean, that doesn't count for nothing.
Here is the problem.
No, it does count for nothing. It's just an opinion.
It is just an opinion.
From a safety.
Correct.
Who stunk last year.
Correct. Darius Slay's 34 playing cornerback, Dom. There aren't many guys who are 34. It's just a fact of life at the position. Darrell Revis is one of the best to ever do it. Fell off badly in his early 30s.
Does have something to prove.
He does have something to prove, merely because the NFL is not very fair and age isn't just a number. Aaron Rodgers would be just the second quarterback in his 40s like this to put up really good numbers if he were to do it this year. The other guy is Tom Brady.
And he did it with a torn MCL, so if he did it, why can't Aaron Rodgers?
Because he is the literal greatest player of all time, and the exception
Aaron
that
Rodgers
very much
is what,
proves
top 10?
There is Tom Brady right now. There is a gap, and then there is whoever you want to put second.
Right. Yes, this is the same mistake you made when Malzi was off, and you said, I think people got it wrong at wide receiver. Randy Moss is actually better than Jerry Rice.
Well, he is, okay, for going on pure talent. And on pure talent, Aaron Rodgers is
top. But you weren't
going
off of pure talent.
Yes, I was.
You said that Randy Moss's career.
Do you have a compulsion where you have to say stupid things? You have to give bad opinions to sustain your survival here?
I was saying on talent, yes, Randy Moss is the best. And on talent, Aaron Rodgers is what, top five all time?
Aaron Rodgers might be top one of all time in terms of talent that actually matters to a quarterback. Talent isn't the only thing. Do you know who Muhammad Ali was?
Yeah.
He used to say, he had a very famous quote that's on all sorts of motivational posters. It said,
wait a minute.
Hard work and talent are both important, but hard work beats talent if talent doesn't work
hard.
So
wait a minute. By your logic, Dom, George Pickens is a better wide receiver than Hines Ward.
And Martavis Bryant was better than A.B.
George Pickens has more talent than Hines Ward.
Martavis was more talented than A.B. No one would argue that.
Okay. No, that's not what I'm saying, but I do think talent has something to do with it. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Oh, my God.
What do you mean, oh, my God?
He means, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually attempting to take Dom seriously, which
is
how I'm feeling.
So I'm going to move on to Jalen Ramsey. I got to be honest, I've heard Jalen Ramsey here. I didn't hear all of it. I expected a little more energy from a guy who was sick and tired of Miami, and based on his social media feed, seemed tickled pink to be with the Steelers. Now, maybe we're going to find out Jalen Ramsey just isn't a big media guy. Fine. Steve Carlton never talked to the media in Philadelphia. He's one of the greatest pitchers of all time. So you don't need to be chummy with the media for me to like you. But I was just a little bit surprised that he didn't even attempt to fake it today when he was stopped by reporters when he was moving into his dorm room. Here he is, just a blanket take on joining the Steelers in the first place.
Look at the defense from the D-line, probably the best D-line in the NFL. Then you got PQ leading the linebackers, and then the secondary, me and Slay have had a relationship for a while. Me and Joey, we got some kind of family ties going on. And yeah, add me in there. Obviously, me and Deshaun played each other before on the same team. So it's a lot of excitement around the defense, but not just the defense, the offense too. Obviously, A-Rod's here now. DK, who
I've had a lot of battles with. That's been fun. Woody's here. I played with him with the Rams. So it's just a lot of excitement, obviously, just around the team in general.
I think Woody is Ben Skoranek. That's the nickname for him.
He's like both from Toy Story?
That's new to me. Who else is Woody who we played with in L.A.?
Harrelson?
Johnson?
Brick Johnson?
Woody, Woodrow Wilson?
How many Woodies are out there, man? Woody Allen? Woody Harrelson?
Does Pro Football Reference list Woody as a nickname for Ben Skoranek, Dom?
Let me check.
Can we maybe get you away from asinine takes and get you to do some work here, some research for us?
He doesn't even have a nickname.
Woody.
Just Bennett William Skoranek.
Yeah, nothing.
Here is Jalen Ramsey on his role with the Steelers, which obviously fans are interested in hearing what he's going to be asked to do.
Players here.
What do you kind of anticipate your role being? Obviously, you've been corner.
I'm going to play football, and we're going to figure that out together, huh?
Is that something that you've had conversations with them about?
Yeah, a little bit.
You played left and right almost an equal amount, like off by one snap.
Oh, I travel. Usually, that's kind of how my career has been, so I've never been bound to one side besides maybe 1 year in my career. But yeah, usually I travel with whoever the opposing guy's best receiver is. I'm not saying that'll be my role here. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that's how it's been. You asked about it. And that's how it's been.
So he probably has the expectation in his mind that that's what he's best at doing? Is taking the other team's best wide receiver? Omar Khan said they talked to Ramsey and his agent before the trade got made, and he signed up for whatever it is they told him he was going to do. But
Here's a little stat from the NFL Plus Twitter feed, their next-gen stats kind of.
Yep.
It's the one that sends out next-gen stats stuff. Mm-hmm. Last year, 51.0 passer rating as the nearest defender in man coverage. They like that nearest defender thing. That's third lowest among guys at corner with at least 100 man coverage snaps. That would suggest that that's an esoteric-sounding number. That would suggest he's right if he thinks he can take away a best receiver kind of guy.
I think he's still their best corner, even though he's up there in age a little bit now.
That says more about the lack of development we saw from Porter last year.
I don't, you know, it is a good thing defensively to be unpredictable, but I don't want that to come at the expense of taking away what the other guy does best.
Wait a minute. No. Shutting down another team's best receiver is absolutely going to be more valuable than some notion of unpredictability.
Right. So
if you can eliminate Jamar Chase from a game
that's
reliably,
what I mean.
That's more valuable.
Like, I didn't trust Joey Porter Jr. to do that. And even though he's coming off a good year in Philly where he won a Super Bowl, I didn't trust Darius Slay to do that. I still think Ramsey, even though he wasn't voted as such by the people that run the NFL and that Fowler poll, I still think he has the talent to be a top 10 corner in the NFL. So that's what I want him to do. I don't want him to be safety one play, slot corner the next, outside corner the next. Preferably, I would like to at least try at the beginning of the year for him to do what he's always done, and that's man up against the best wide receivers in the NFL. First week they play the Jets, go take Garrett Wilson away for 60 minutes.
Honestly, that's one of those things with him where I would be like, show me that it isn't going to work before I decide to do something.
I'm definitely excited to run better plays, for sure. Yeah.
It's George Pickens at the start of Cowboys training camp today. He's excited to run better plays. Until on one of those plays, he doesn't get the ball thrown his way. Creates a stir on the sidelines, checks out.
Requires show up on time.
Requires a Micah Parsons or Dak Prescott or both to go over to the sideline and try to get him re-engaged in the game.
I'm not sure that Micah is exactly the kind of cool head himself that would thrive doing that.
Yep.
Feels like that would be more like Micah says, get your ass in the game and get your head in the game, and maybe they have a Georgia Tech reenactment there with Parsons playing a more aggressive role.
Busy day for former Steelers. Yeah, those comments from Pickens. Russell Wilson named the starter with the Giants. No camp battle there. No
Giants country. Let's ride.
No pretend camp battle there like Mike Tomlin staged with Wilson and Fields last year. And in Cleveland, Deontay Johnson walked off the field, not because he quit like he did in a game last year with the Ravens, but because he was injured. I had kind of forgotten that Deontay Johnson had resurfaced in Cleveland, but he has. And catching balls from Kenny Pickett, presumably, when things went sideways for him. So saying sideways because that's usually how he would run in games with the Steelers, either sideways or backwards. All right, time for the Hawk Report. He is live in Latrobe at training camp. And Jeff, today was a day that lives in infamy. Last year, conditioning day, conditioning test day, Russell Wilson suffered an injury that derailed the start of his Steelers career. Did you observe? Are you guys allowed to watch the conditioning drill?
Did not observe the conditioning drill. I think we had one or two that served as our eyes.
And did they report back the things that changed?
If only we could report back the things that changed. But Mike Tomlin said it was a little different this year, and that he tweaked it based on the group that they have this year.
Does that make you feel like Aaron Rodgers did not push a sled?
I'm feel really strongly in saying that he did not push a sled, even though I cannot confirm nor deny the fact of him pushing a sled.
If they tweaked it based on the group that they have, and the group they have has Aaron Rodgers, they probably did like a drum circle or something like that. Did they do maybe the Atlas Stones from the World's Strongest Man, or they throw kegs over a certain height line that's held up by two poles? Did they do anything that like that?
That would have been something, given they're the second oldest team in the NFL. They would have
tried
that.
Or they move those gigantic stone chess pieces. I always like that one at the World's Strongest Man, Jeff. I will actually say something serious. We saw Juan Thornhill show up and basically say, my tape is good, my haters were wrong in Cleveland. The media painted a picture that I stunk, I didn't stink. I can't help but contrast the man's confidence in himself with Omar Khan, the guy who acquired him, saying, yeah, at safety, we have Juan Thornhill, and then moving on to talk about continuing to be open. How motivated do you think Omar Khan is to try to find somebody who is not named Juan Thornhill to play back there?
Well, so here's what's interesting is I think they are looking for another body. I don't know what they'll end up getting because Mike Tomlin just got done telling us that they're going to play Jalen Ramsey, Slay, and Joey Porter Jr. all at the same time. Like, they're going to play constantly because they're playmakers. So if you're running those three out there, then do you run those three and a safety? Whether you call one of those guys another safety or not, maybe Thornhill is just the extra, or in certain situations Thornhill comes in, because Tomlin just said he's committed to those three. You know, Deshaun Elliott's going to be the safety. So do you need to bring in another guy, especially if you have a Brandon Echols who you like as a potential slot? They may not be – I mean, Omar might be right in what he said earlier today, in that – they feel good with where they're at, even though they will potentially look at a safety.
Jeff, we heard Jalen Ramsey on his role, and one of the things he said was, my job has been to cover the other team's best receiver. He also said, though, that, you know, he's open to do whatever. And Omar Khan said at his press conference, look, we made it very clear with him what we were going to do with him before we traded for him. So, what's your best guess on how he gets used when we see the Steelers take the practice fields for the first time tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we're going to see him in different spots on different days. I do think they're going to experiment with him. Just based on what I was saying Tomlin just told us, how he wants those three on the field. I don't see Joey moving to the inside. I don't see Joey. I don't see them really messing with Joey. So, okay, Slay's never really played in some type of slot situation, but Ramsey has, and as Tomlin said, he was their top rated safety on their draft board, along with being their top rated corner when he came out of college. So it would stand to reason that they would move Ramsey into a safety position. Maybe it's not the traditional type of safety position, but maybe it's something different than what they've seen. What they believe that they've done is they've allowed themselves now with those guys to be able to handle better some of the passing offenses, and including two of them that are within their own division.
You know what, Jeff? It's literally report day. So I say this with no like hyperventilating and oh my God, they're getting this wrong. But it already feels like they might be trying to overthink it with Ramsey. Like Pony and I just got done discussing this. His numbers as a corner in man coverage last year as the nearest defender, really, really, really good. Passer rating allowed, like 51. He was very good at just going over, covering a guy, and locking him down. I'd almost want to see Jalen Ramsey, who I think is the best corner on this team, get to try to play that role until they move him around a lot like a chess piece, like the queen on the chessboard.
No, and we were discussing that here, and the fact that even though he's older, he has not diminished in his man-to-man coverage. So how do you work it with those three? It's a really interesting scenario, especially if the Steelers were to go out and get another safety. Then it really makes you think about how they're going to make this work. I'm sure if they're thinking about moving Slay to a different position or maybe not making him a full-time player, they probably don't want to make that announcement on before the first practice even begins. But I do think we'll see a ton of experimenting in that secondary from everything that, you know, that they're talking about here. And you kind of liked how Ramsey there was trying to be coy. Like, he's got an idea of what they're going to do, but he just doesn't want to say it out loud.
Jeff, when they line up in their base offense for the first time tomorrow, do you anticipate that Calvin Austin will be the other wide receiver opposite DK Metcalf? Is it Robert Woods, who called himself a number one wide receiver today with reporters? Is it Roman Wilson? Who do you think is the leader in the clubhouse for wide receiver two?
Calvin Austin.
So he'll play outside, like, even though he's 5'6".
Yeah, I think Calvin Austin. I mean, again, they have two tight ends that they can use as pass threats, which may impact what they're doing. And there may be times where they want extra blocking where Robert Woods makes sense to put in those scenarios, or even, you know, his buddy Skoranek. Roman Wilson, and this is a huge camp for him. I mean, he needs to A, stay healthy, but B, show some of the things that people, you know, open their eyes with at OTAs and minicamp that can actually translate out here in Latrobe when it gets a little bit more serious. And there's a little bit, at least a little bit of physicality in some of these situations. I mean, I think it's, I don't have a doubt right now that it's Calvin Austin with, you know, Robert Woods in certain situations and an outside shot for Roman Wilson, but, you know, he's got to prove it.
Jeff, on wide receiver two, I understand that one easy explanation here, so I'm going to not rule it out, but just say it out loud so you don't have to acknowledge it right off the bat. In the case of Amari Cooper, the player here might want more money, or his agent might be sending signals that he wants more money than teams are willing to pay. Absent that, have you or any of the other people that cover this team, has anyone kicked around why it seems like the Steelers and 30 other teams that aren't the Bills, who we played for last year, why no one seems to be particularly interested in Amari Cooper, who I didn't think had fallen off a cliff physically while he was with Buffalo?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, and he doesn't seem to be,
he's not a diva.
Problem.
Yeah, he's right, a good exactly. route runner, great route runner, really, when he's right, and he's not a diva type guy. All checks every box you would think, you know, you'd want.
It's funny you say it, because the one thing, and this was something, a conversation we had in OTAs, was, you know, is it just that he's waiting to see what the best opportunity is, so he's hesitant with teams that are calling him, that maybe he wants to see how camps, you know, what happens in camps. Receivers are going to go down, like, leave his best options open, and teams are amenable to this at this point. I mean, that's one of the only things we're trying to piece together, because he seems like a natural fit, not just on this Steeler roster, but on a few others where he could still make a difference. You don't need him to be a one, maybe not even a big time two, but man, who could tell you that Amari Cooper couldn't be a three in your receiver core?
All right, Jeff, it all gets underway tomorrow. You'll be there, 93.7thefan.com and on our airwaves. Check it out. Jeff Hathorn,
thanks,
the Hawk,
Jeff,
with his wings on the ground there, checking out the start of Steelers training camp. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
I like that. That's snazzy.
And that's right. Judge Donnie is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions, even though he is not in court today. He was at PNC Park. So instead, we have
Now, when there's a substitute judge, do we expect to treat the substitute judge like a substitute teacher? And maybe you're screwing around.
I'm not giving you any advice. I don't want you to win here.
He just rolls the TV into the courtroom and says, all right, we're putting on Home Alone or something.
I'm not saying anything that might help or hurt my cause here. Well,
Dom's so young, he
help.
Probably doesn't even have the TV on wheels from school. There's no way.
No, we had those. We had those.
Wow, yeah. I cannot believe those things were still kicking.
All right, Malzy, rock, paper, scissors time.
All right, here we go.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Damn. All right, you get to first crack at it. You won. You went with scissors. I went with paper for those who aren't watching on YouTube.
All right.
The argument is, will the Steelers make the playoffs in 2025? And you'll be arguing for?
Why the Steelers will not make the playoffs in 2025.
All right, 2 minutes to make the opening argument here, Dom. Start your watch.
Here we go.
And go.
Thank you. Judge Dom, it's good enough to be in your chambers here. Doesn't have the same gravitas, and the Steelers don't have the same gravitas that they want to believe that they have. The problem for the Steelers is pretty simple. Everything around them, the environment around them, should be a little bit tougher. The Steelers replaced one future Hall of Famer who's past his prime with another future Hall of Famer who's even more past his prime. They finally have their tackle situation at least in the right positions, but guess what? There's usually a learning curve, and Broderick Jones is essentially starting back out as a rookie, having not played much left tackle at all over the last couple of years. Oh, and Troy Fautanu, last year's bookend tackle first-round pick, he was hurt almost all season. Very little NFL experience. Expect there to be a significant learning curve for both of them, and they don't have Justin Fields, a hypermobile quarterback, to bail them out of those situations. If Aaron Rodgers is under siege, he ain't 2015 Aaron Rodgers anymore moving around and throwing darts. Wide receiver two? Don't worry. We'll just stack up Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson in a trench coat and call them wide receiver two. We don't need to go after anybody that's out there on the open market. And here's the real problem for the Steelers. While they have had a lot of activity this offseason, out goes Minka, in comes Ramsey, in comes Jonnu Smith. I think that's a slight net positive. The rest of the AFC is pretty bleeping tough. Can I interest you in the Buffalo Bills still being better than them? The Ravens still being better. The Bengals, even with their defensive woes, still being better. Houston being better. That's four teams. Kansas City being better. The Broncos being better. We're up to six. The Chargers being better. And maybe even Jacksonville getting their feet back underneath them. That's eight teams. There's only seven that make it in to the playoffs. The Steelers are just not one of the seven best teams in the AFC, Your Honor.
Yes?
What are you pointing at me for? What do I do now?
I'm waiting for you to give me a cue so I can start.
Oh, you're supposed to say Counselor Filippone.
Counselor Filippone.
Well, we already know, Your Honor, that Counselor Mueller is grasping at straws here to make his argument when he said into a microphone in front of the entire courtroom moments ago that the Jaguars might be better than the Steelers in 2025. He's already had to go to the Jacksonville well. I'd like to direct the judge's attention to Exhibit A here, and that is quarterback passing stats from 2024. Aaron Rodgers, 3,897 yards. Josh Allen, 3,731 yards. Jaden Daniels, 3,568 yards. Justin Herbert, 3,870 yards. We had more passing yards than all those guys. Touchdown passes for Rodgers, 28. Same number as Allen. Patrick Mahomes, 26. Jordan Love, 25. Jaden Daniels, 25. Justin Herbert, 23. Had more passing yards and touchdowns through the air than both Jaden Daniels, who was in the NFC Championship game, and Patrick Mahomes, who was in the Super Bowl again last year and is widely regarded as the league's best quarterback. The Bengals, we should not gloss over what Counselor Mueller admitted in his opening statement here. They had the worst defense in the AFC last year. The NFL's leader in sacks, not there. Their first-round pick, not there. So unless Joe Burrow is going to play two ways here like he's Travis Hunter, I think they're in a little bit of trouble on offense, having to make up for all of their defensive warts in 2025. Yes, the Steelers are a playoff team. Your Honor, they were a playoff team without Aaron Rodgers last year. And that was with the quarterback duo of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Counsel Mueller?
60 seconds for a closing argument, Dom.
Thank you, Your Honor. You can hear the lack of conviction in Counselor Filippone's voice. It belies all the pathetic arguments he tried to make. He suddenly just started listing off passing yards as if counting stats are the be-all, end-all, and that we can't see in this courtroom right through the charade. You know what all those other quarterbacks with fewer passing yards didn't have that Aaron Rodgers did? A stretch where his team went 1-9 and he quarterbacked every single game. He brought up the Jacksonville Jaguars inclusion. They were the 8th team I mentioned. I didn't need to. I just piled on a little bit. Also, this is a Steelers team built on defense. Oh, whoops. Even though they made the playoffs last year, that defense cratered down the stretch. It's a defense also run de facto by Mike Tomlin. And therein lies the weakest part of Counselor Filippone's argument, suggesting that Mike Tomlin can navigate all these changes and make the Steelers a playoff team. He doesn't believe that, and he wouldn't believe it in a million years. Counselor Filippone?
Counselor Filippone.
As is often the case in these situations, Counselor Mueller has misidentified what the question is for our judge and for those watching and listening. It is not will the Steelers win a playoff game. It is will the Steelers make the playoffs. And he disparages Mike Tomlin. He is fully capable of just making the playoffs. He did last year. He did when Mason Rudolph had to come to the rescue. Counselor Mueller brought up the Broncos and Chargers as teams who were unequivocally better than the Steelers. We will leave Jacksonville off to the side here for a moment. I present to you Exhibit B, Your Honor, which is the Steelers' record against the Broncos and Chargers last year with Russell Wilson and not Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. And that record was 2-0, so that was another flimsy argument made. Mine is the right one, Your Honor.
Your Honor, he said Russell Wilson played those teams. He wasn't even the starting quarterback. He was injured.
He doesn't have time to make an argument here.
He didn't do any preparation here, Your Honor.
You have to strike that from the record. He has no time to make that argument here.
You can't make that argument, Counselor
Fine,
Mueller.
Fine, strike it from the record, but you, I think, have enough body of evidence here to rule on this eloquently and wisely, Judge.
I have reached a ruling. The winner of this debate is Counselor Filippone.
Yeah! Oh my God! Unbelievable! The judge is letting his personal bias for Aaron Rodgers cloud his judgment.
Two in a row.
No, Malzi, you...
It was the power of
my
rhetoric.
I'm filing an appeal with Judge Donnie next week. We're going to run this up to the Fifth Circuit.
Well, first of all, you
said... Southern District of New York, baby.
You said Aaron Rodgers is more past his prime than Russ. I don't agree with that. You said Denver is better. You said Jacksonville was better. You lost me there. And then the Tomlin criticism, I thought, was you just grasping for straws. Pony, I thought you made some very, very legitimate, credible
arguments.
He didn't even get the games right in which he said they beat the... Russell Wilson beat the Chargers and Broncos. Counselor Filippone never makes basic factual errors like that. He was he was grasping at straws. He didn't even have his words underneath
him. No, he said you were grasping at straws.
The Tomlin thing was a reach.
You know what?
Thank you.
You shouldn't have even been allowed to preside over this. You both went to Syracuse. It's a conflict of interest, Judge.
No conflict of interest at all.
No conflict of interest, says the man who gets to make the rules even though he went to the same school.
You don't think I went to Syracuse with plenty of people who hate my guts? Because I could call them up and get them on the show if you really think that Syracuse is just like a
Judge
band
DiTomaso,
of brothers situation.
Did or did not Counselor Filippone help get your foot in the door as an intern at this radio station?
It's irrelevant to the council at hand.
Oh, it's irrelevant. That doesn't sound like a yes or no answer to a yes or no question, Your Honor.
Irrelevant to Aaron Rodgers.
Irrelevant.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Sounds like it. Yes, he did to me. Absolute garbage.
Congrats on the win, Pony.
The worst ruling in the history of this segment. Absolute trash.
I'm curious to what the YouTube comments and what the text line says. Who won Judge Donnie?
Jory Rands Taint said, Jory Rands Taint said, Mulsey won by a long shot. Water in the desert. Mulsey. There it is. Yeah. Boom. Pony is off his game in closing arguments, says Brent.
Now that Jory Rance Taint has piled on here and weighed in, I I stand corrected.
Also, accuses you two of collusion.
I stand corrected. Jury Ranch Taint disagrees with me. All right.
I argue with Pony more than anybody on this station. There's no collusion.